Pro-Con Show, 720 WGN. Yeah, that's damn right I hit the post. All right, we have got White Sox baseball coming your way after 4:30. We are pleased and honored to be joined by Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. He's the chief medical officer there and also chief medical officer of the Rokan Show, unpaid position. All right, Dr. Jim, let's start with this because we had a caller that I got into a bit of a debate about an hour ago with a caller about kids. You know, new rules are in effect now for kids' sports, voluntary sports, whether they play Little League or travel baseball or whatever. Illinois is suspending those sports till further notice. And then the IHSA just came out with its new regulations and when the sports are actually going to be played in the high school season. And almost all of the contact sports have been moved to the spring. Now, one of the questions that a caller raised was why? Because kids don't really get it. They if they do, they're asymptomatic and they're not spreaders. That was the final part, is they're not spreaders. All the research that this individual said that he had read, this guy said, hey, none of it all points to they don't spread it to adults. What say you?
Well, what I say is we've only known this disease for about 6 months. We don't have enough data or enough information. We would all agree that sports are important for the health of the kids, important for physical, mental health, development, and everything. However, we don't know enough about the disease. We have to pause. It's prudent to pause until we really figure this out. Sure, the best information that we have is that the children are safer, but we just don't know enough to be sure of it.
Okay. Children may be safer, and statistically so far, it appears that they tend to be safer, but are they spreading it? That's the question.
Right. And we really don't have enough facts. They could have asymptomatic infections. They could be breathing out virus. We just don't know it. We haven't done enough experiments around this. It's just not enough to know quite yet. So that's why the safest thing is, I think, the decision that was made.
And so as kids get older, though, it does seem that symptomatic, you know, it starts late teens into their 20s, definitely into the 30s. There does seem to be that escalator. Is that just a story, or are there statistics that back that up?
So I think you're right. That's what we've observed, and that's important data to observe. But we have seen some young kids get rashes and get unusual disease and odd manifestations. So really, some children are affected in ways that we're still discovering. Yes, sure, in lower proportions. And you're right, that with each age group, we do see more manifestations of it. It does seem to be getting worse with age. But at this point, we just don't want to take risks until we know. We just need a little bit more time, some months to get better treatments, better insight in disease, and vaccination started.
So I was looking at the IDPH website today, and the numbers in Cook County and the city of Chicago are rising. The worst area right now in the state is Metro East, outside of St. Louis, on the Illinois side of St. Louis. There seems to be a spike there in terms of the positivity rate. Positivity rate is climbing in the city of Chicago and in Cook County, but overall around the state, in the places that weren't really affected in the first wave, or I don't know if this is the second wave or however you want to look at this, but those places that were lightly affected all seem to be lightly affected. And those, of course, are places that are more sparsely populated. What do you think is going to happen here in Chicago? What are you seeing on the hospital side? Because the numbers are going up, and then hospitalizations lag, don't they?
Well, that's true. The hospitalizations do lag, and it takes a couple weeks for the infection rate to turn into hospitalizations, and then a couple more weeks to turn into deaths, unfortunately. So we have seen in the state, statewide, a slight uptick in of admissions for the first time in the state. So the pattern's following. What we've seen around the state and around counties is people seem to congregate together for the 4th of July. In the nice weather, they're having gatherings. And following the gatherings are infections. Well, there was a golf outing, and in the club, the bartender had COVID asymptomatic, and a bunch of people got infected in the clubhouse. So from the gatherings without face masks in counties that let their guard down, we're seeing infections manifest, and then it takes off. Don't let the guard down. What we're seeing in Chicago is people are maintaining distance and masks. I know it's uneven, but they are. But there's good caution. And so while we've seen a rise, we haven't seen those super spreader events, and we haven't seen the pops quite as much. We are on guard. We've all known people are gathering, and there's still people not fully protecting.
In Northwestern, and also from you guys get data from all the hospitals in Chicago, we're still in a safe zone in terms of ICU beds, ventilators, things like that.
Oh, plenty of capacity. That's not the issue. The hospital has both safeguards high, it's safe to be in the come to the hospital, and plenty of capacity. That's not the worry at all. It's really just keeping people safe day to day and just getting in the habits that we need until we can get those treatments and vaccines.
Okay, Dr. Jim Adams is who we're talking to from Northwestern Medicine. Your phone call, 312-981-7200 when we come back. Doctor, hold on 1 second for me. We'll come right back to you. We're going to have Thursdays with Tom tomorrow because we missed Tuesdays with Tom yesterday. Just letting you know that, in case you're interested. Okay. Dr. Jim Adams is with us, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine here in Chicago. Okay, so we'll get to the phone calls here at 312-981-7200 in just a second. I'm interested in where you land on the virus talk, on the vaccine talk, because there's been so much discussion over the last week about these vaccines that are going into trial. As a matter of fact, Northwestern just announced that there's 5,000 people that they are looking for to take part in these trials. I responded to it. I signed up for the website myself to see if I could get into the trial. I think that, you know, people who want to try to do this, want to try to help, should be doing that. How optimistic are you about having a vaccine even as early next year?
So it gets increasingly optimistic. I'm a pessimist about these things by nature. I'm worried about vaccines because I know how hard they are. They had a big head start. The science was prepared, and they've just taken off, and they have really good candidates. The one that we're trialing looks very strong. Over 1,000 patients have been monitored already for a couple of months after receiving it, and it looks safe. There's good antibody response. And now we want to give it to many thousand more. So I'm turning optimistic, even though I really do understand how difficult it is to get a protective vaccine. This would be a world record. I think it might actually happen.
Yeah. And obviously, the record is less important than actually getting this out and turning the tide away from this. There's also a theory that this virus is burning itself out because you've seen this incredibly quick diminution in parts of the world that were heavily stricken by it. What do you make of that argument?
So we have to wait because in many of those areas, the virus could be re-imported again and have a next resurgence. And so it is very likely this coronavirus can go in waves like that, where it looks like it's going away but doesn't and just comes back later. That's why understanding the virus, getting treatments, and getting a vaccine, all is important.
All right. Greg, you're on WGN. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Go ahead, Greg.
Hi, Doctor. I had a quick question. I've heard a lot about the silver ion masks, and they have some see-through silver ion masks. I was wondering, are they effective, and does the silver ion trap or kill the virus?
Okay, hold on 1 second. We have to return to the doctor here. Hold on, we've got him right back here. All right, so, doctor, the question was silver ion masks. Do you think that that is more effective than just a normal mask?
It hasn't been studied. Don't know. I think any mask that protects the wearer and blocks the breath is good, but I have no depth of science on the silver ion masks.
Yeah, and you're hearing a lot of different things about masks that are promising extra kind of to be better than the other masks. And I get it; it's America, it's capitalism, it's you know, telling a story, it's the way that we market things here. Is there really a significant difference in many of these, or is there one that you would say there's a style that's worse than others in these level one masks?
So the best thing is a couple of layers because we want to block the breath coming out. So if it's too thin, a single layer, the breath can go too far. Second thing is we don't want the breath to blow out unimpeded from the sides. The other thing, too, is we want a couple of layers so that when we inhale through it, it does filter at least some of the viruses out and provide perhaps a little bit of protection. So a several-layer mask, I think, is safest for me and for everybody else.
All right. Anna, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi. I was wondering, can you still be an organ donor if you die of the virus?
Ooh. I know that.
So, no, I think that people would be very, very cautious with that. I would have to talk to the organ transplant people to see if they're accepting. But when people die of the virus, usually, unfortunately, the virus has done so much damage that many of these organs are no longer salvageable anyway. But there's, I'm sure, a lot of tissue that could be used and a lot of important contributions that could be made to science. But I'm not sure that the transplant surgeons would want the large organs. They would want other parts for science. But I'd have to talk to the transplant surgeons to be sure.
Yeah. Okay,
because I need to get my license renewed. So do I take it off while we're having this?
No, leave it on. Keep it on. I have it on mine. It's the best thing. Just keep it on.
Right, because your likelihood of dying from COVID versus other things still lower, right?
Correct.
I mean, despite the fact that we do have, I think we're just about at 150,000 deaths in the United States.
That's right.
And 6,000 some here in Illinois. And you know, when you think about that, and you think about the time, sort of the end of February, beginning of March is when we started to have our first stories of deaths, even in the state of Illinois, and we've already had 6,000 something in these 6 months from one single thing. Not from multiple things, but from this one single virus. It is astounding, and I know that there are a lot of folks that want to make this not that big of a deal, but it is a big deal.
And even the people who have it and recover, some of them are suffering greatly for a longer time, so we're seeing that as well. So many, many people recover very, very well. But it's nothing to take lightly because people do have long recoveries, and unfortunately it is causing some people to die.
Yeah, Frank, you're on WGN. Say hello to Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern. Go ahead, sir.
Afternoon, gentlemen. In short, I've been alive for 50 years. And for as long as I've been alive, medicine hasn't been able to come up with a vaccine for the common cold or the flu virus. So with this virus being so new, how are we supposed to be optimistic that medicine or science is going to come up with a vaccine for this virus that is so new that we haven't been able to come up with a vaccine for the influenza virus or the common cold?
Well, okay.
That's
a good question. That's a very good question. Let's clarify about the influenza vaccine. There is an influenza vaccine, but it changes every year because that is not a stable virus. It mutates, right?
That's right. So you're 100% right. The flu mutates really fast. This is not mutating anywhere near that, number one. Number two, this is a coronavirus that's very, very similar to the SARS virus that we saw in 2002-2003. It's very similar to the MERS virus that we saw a decade and a half ago. So we've seen these viruses and did a ton of research on those coronaviruses and started with vaccines for those. And because this is a relative that looks very similar, we had a huge head start into understanding. But because SARS disappeared in around 2005, the research slowed down. And here we are with a pandemic. All that research is pulled off the shelf. All that research was reactivated. The vaccine efforts restarted. And scientists have been studying this for years. So that's why there's optimism here, and that's why it is moving so fast. You're exactly right. It's a great, great question. You know, we weren't successful with vaccines. But on coronaviruses, with this virus, we had a head start.
So you mentioned that we've had other viruses just disappear. Why do we think this one won't just disappear? I get that question a lot.
Yeah, so MERS circulated for several months and then burnt out. SARS stayed in Asia, did the same and burnt out. Unfortunately, this one escaped its the local environment, got around the world, and you see this worldwide cyclical phenomenon now where we're all infected. So if it was going to burn out, it would have, but it escaped around the world, and now we have to stop the virus from being able to find new people to infect. That's either we stay masked and distanced or we get a vaccine. And it looks like a vaccine's the way out now.
Yeah, that's interesting. Although, as you pointed out, there are some pretty good clinical things that can be done at this moment. I mean, in terms of keeping people alive, they're still going to be very sick, and these are sort of last gasp efforts on whether it's remdesivir, some of the other drugs that are being used, plasma therapy. But at least people, the survival rate is getting better.
Absolutely. Every week there's better knowledge. Every month there's advances in drugs. The next trials of drugs will be out soon, August, September. So I just say stay safe. We're getting better treatments. We're getting vaccine underway. We need some time to do it.
All right. Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine. Thank you, as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you.